Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Asia Pacific markets are trading lower this morning. Joining me now as we dissect market action is Ryan Huang. Good morning, Ryan.
TGIF, Michelle.
We made it to the end of the week. How's it going?
Congratulations. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Have you got your weekend plan sorted out yet?
No, it's still work in progress, Ryan, but it will involve lots of food. And I'm really happy because today I'm going to be interviewing the man behind Little Farms, the grocery chain.
Oh, yes, there's one around my neighborhood in Joo Chiat. So that is the place to look for the freshest groceries. They just look so amazing there.
Yeah, you're right. They're very well known for their curated lineup of groceries. I'm going to find out what his big plans are for the chain moving forward. But first, let's start this morning with earnings reports from three very different companies. Two are in the US, one headquartered in Europe. Now, the first is a retail giant, a big box store with more than 10,000 outlets, as well as an online platform as well. And their tagline is everyday low prices. Think about it, and I will introduce our next two companies in focus. They are a German multinational, best known for industrial automation, large-scale infrastructure, and an upscale international sportswear company with several outlets here in Singapore. Well, do you know these companies? The first company, Walmart. If you said that, you're right. We're also going to take a look at Siemens and Under Armour. But beginning with Walmart, which netted more than $5 billion US dollars during its last fiscal quarter, which is nearly triple its profits from a year earlier. Now, the retailer's revenue grew at a much slower pace, about 6%. What is driving the surge in Walmart's profits?
All right, let's take a look at the largest U.S. retailer, and it is looking pretty good. Earnings beating the earnings and revenue expectations. So you've got significant gains in the e-commerce side of business. Also, the newer businesses like advertising seem to be doing well, and it has won over more high-income shoppers. So this is where you've got Walmart, I guess, capitalizing on shifting consumer patterns. You've got folks starting to gravitate towards the value that Walmart offers. You mentioned how it's a bit of a discounter of sorts. You get very low price items, house brands as well, Walmart. So you have that value play here. And even Walmart's CFO says that its grocery business is benefiting because of the widening gap between the price of cooking at home and buying food outside, like at the restaurants or fast food chains. So if that continues as a trend, then you can imagine they will continue to benefit as well. And he also played up the fact that convenience is something that Walmart is offering, which is where the delivery business is doing well, surpassing its store pickup in terms of volume. So it is seeing a couple of bright spots.
Walmart making bigger inroads into e-commerce. Clearly, more high-income consumers are shopping at Walmart as well, which is another tick for it. The company's share price rallied into record territory overnight. It closed up 7%. It is now up more than 20% since the beginning of the year. Now let's turn to Siemens. It's the German industrial and tech powerhouse, which netted 2.2 billion euros during the first quarter of the year, 38% lower than a year earlier. What's behind the decline?
All right, looking at Siemens, it's almost like a different story here. A drop in demand, and this comes with the slowdown at its flagship factory automation division. So a change, I suppose, or I suppose a contrasting fortune here. Industrial profits down 2% to 2.5 billion euros for the 3 months to the end of March. So that misses the average analyst forecast. Sales were down 1%. And it seems like the culprit here is the digital industries division, which struggled with lower orders, sales, and profit during the quarter. And China was flagged as being especially weak with lower orders and revenues. Europe also struggling. So it does look like the higher margin products are seeing fewer sales and traction right now, for Siemens at least.
Shares of Siemens slid nearly 7% in European trade yesterday. Now, our third earnings announcement in focus comes from Under Armour. Are you a fan?
I am okay. It's not the top of my shopping list.
Very pricey, right? Their sportswear has been pretty popular for a while now. Well, Under Armour's sales are contracting. They fell 10% in North America, which is its largest market. Company officials say sales are expected to fall further in the year ahead. So it's retrenching workers. Shares of Under Armour are down 2%. Since the beginning of the year, down for Under Armour. Let's take a step back. When you look at this latest batch of earnings reports, what's the largest takeaway here?
Under Armour under pressure. So that's a sign of how it's tough to be in the consumer business. People are just changing their minds on the season and for other reasons like cost of living issues, and so on. And that's been reflected with Walmart, for example. People are gravitating towards where the value is. And we've seen this play out for a few quarters already. And it's not just Walmart. You have people cutting back from the expensive lattes at Starbucks, the more expensive stuff at some of the fast food chains as well. And it's also been reflected at Siemens, where budgets are being cut or at least tightened to some extent. The high-margin stuff is not flying off the shelves as fast as before. So that's the look that we are, I suppose, having to navigate in 2024. Will it return the consumer appetite? Will they continue to tighten their purse strings or be more careful about spending? So that's going to be the story, I think, for the next few quarters.
Let's turn to broader U.S. markets now and away from discerning consumers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average topped the 40,000 mark for the first time overnight. What a big milestone. But the blue chip index could not hold on to that level, at least not yet. It finished down a fraction of a percent at 39,869. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 finished lower as well. They both dropped around a quarter percent after hitting record highs a day earlier. Let's take a closer look at the Dow. The benchmark index is more than 125 years old. It was created by Charles Dow back in 1896. Back then, it had just 12 components. Today, there are 30 stocks in the index, but those stocks have changed over time. For example, a company called Standard Rope and Twine is nowhere to be seen, but big tech companies like Apple are now Dow components. So with the Dow hitting record levels, I wanted to give the listeners some background, Ryan. Investors may be wondering if the stocks that are in the index still present good value, or might they be too expensive? CNBC Pro has a stock screening tool, and if you search for companies that have relatively low price-to-earnings ratios, there are quite a few entries. And in another criteria, analysts target prices that are at least 10% above a stock's current level, so the list narrows a little bit. What are a couple of companies on this value list that have caught your eye?
Yeah, another fun fact before we dive into this list. Today also marks the day that the New York Stock Exchange was formed more than 230 years ago. Oh. So there you go, a milestone of a day. And 40,000 points, the last time it was at 30,000 was in 2020. It didn't seem too long ago, but yeah, there you go, 4 years to get here. Let's take a look at what is on the list of value plays. And it is some familiar names. And like you pointed out, it's a screener. So the screening criteria involves forward price to earnings ratio below the 5-year average, so PE below 5 years, and consensus analyst price target calling for at least 10% upside from here. So still some ways for them to run. And interesting names at the top of the list. Amazon is at the top, and it has a price target with upside of 21.9%. That is how optimistic the consensus is right now.
Wow.
And you have a forward price earnings ratio of 42.9. It might look a bit or sound a bit scary, 42.9, but it is below the 5-year average of 70.8. So if you believe that things will go back to what you can call normal or the mean, then maybe it will get there. Well, the other names in the mix are Salesforce, Chevron, Walt Disney, Johnson & Johnson, McDonald's, Nike, Visa, Verizon, and we talked about this Walmart also in the list.
Look at that. So Amazon stock price, $183.60 US dollars currently, but Wall Street analysts expecting at least 10% again above the stock's current level. Very optimistic. From Wall Street, I want to turn to China, where two major companies are reporting earnings. Earlier this week, we talked about Alibaba, which is struggling, and Tencent, which is thriving. Well, today, JD.com and Baidu are in focus. Which company, listener, is more profitable? Do you think it's the e-commerce platform or is it the search giant? Let's take a look. JD.com, well known for e-commerce, and its earnings have come in well above expectations. Tell us more.
Yeah, good job, JD, because we saw Alibaba seeing a profit plunge. It seems like deep price cuts help to lift sales. So we are seeing JD.com, the smaller of the two, benefiting from lower prices and offering discounts to maintain market share. So you're looking at, for example, JD.com net income up nearly 14% to 6.26 billion yuan. And this is seeing net revenue up 7%. So this is where you've got things going well for JD.com. In contrast, Alibaba reported an 86% drop in quarterly profit, partly due to investment fair value changes. So a bit of a contrasting fortune there for both parties.
Baidu had a sluggish first quarter, but it still netted 31 billion yen. So while there may be a little bit more buzz this morning about JD.com, Baidu is the larger company. Its earnings are about 4 to 5 times larger than those of JD.com. What's driving Baidu's business?
Yeah, Baidu is probably a name you might think of when you think about search engines in China. And this is where it is making money. In places like ad advertising, the recovery in that business, and also in cloud. So it's going to be interesting to dive into how well they are doing. So it seems like there is higher demand for its AI-powered cloud products. So it is helping Baidu's overall quarter, and it's all part of a broader effort by Baidu to rejig how it makes business. So typically, you might think it makes more money from advertising, but it's been trying to rejig the business model to get more sales from AI-related products and services. And we've heard about how Baidu has been trying new things like its Ernie Bot, the equivalent of ChatGPT. Well, it seems like it's paying off and it is going to intensify its efforts there.
Shares of Baidu fell 0.75% in Hong Kong trade yesterday, while JD.com jumped 2.5%. So again, your biggest takeaways when you look at this latest batch of Chinese earnings?
Yeah, this is interesting because it also comes in the same week where we hear that Michael Burry's investment firm is doubling down on China companies, JD.com, Alibaba, and this seems to be a signal that perhaps more folks are optimistic that the bottom is there or is over. It's something that is going to look more optimistic in the quarters to come. And this is where, for example, JD.com is one of Scion Asset Management's top holdings, the investment firm under Michael Burry. So this has seen him raise his stake in JD.com by 80%. So really ramping it up there. Alibaba is his second biggest position. So if he's making that call, he has got it right before. Maybe he'll get it right again.
All right, let's do up or down now with UK telecom counter. Ryan, let's start with the BT Group.
All right, BT is going to be an up for me because the new CEO is sounding really bold and ambitious. And I suppose it's what investors want to hear. So she is saying she wants BT to aim for double the free cash flow. And part of that plan is going to mean she will invest and focus on its UK business, the enterprise side of it at least, or at least the business side when it comes to investing, what BT is going to do in the UK.
Mm-mm. Shares of the BT Group surged 17% in London trade yesterday. This on the back of higher dividends and cost cutting. Next up, let's look at a bank, HSBC.
All right, HSBC is going to be a down for me because one of its top shareholders is looking to cut its stake again, Ping An. So it's trying to find ways to cut a stake worth $13 billion. It's looking at a couple of options, and this will allow it, according to reports, reduce its stake of 8%. So it is going to try to cut more. It's already cut before. So when you have one of your biggest shareholders trying to reduce its exposure, it's not a strong vote of confidence.
No. HSBC's largest shareholder has been trying to force a breakup of the company. I'm talking about Ping An Group. Ping An has wanted HSBC to spin off its Asian business. Now, so far, the efforts have not worked. But now it looks like Ping An is waving the white flag. It's trying to reduce its stake in HSBC. I'd say this is an up for the bank. Mm. Next, let's look at the EV maker, NIO.
Okay, looking at NIO, I'm going up because it is making some headway, or at least making a splash with a new brand and car that is undercutting the Model Y. So undercutting it, cheaper, and that I think could bring in some customers, more customers perhaps, versus Tesla at least. So you have the new NIO car helping to lift the company.
Interesting.
Going up.
Yeah, I'll join you with that. So JP Morgan has upgraded NIO. It likes NIO's better as a service strategy. Shares of NIO are now down more than 40% here in Singapore since the beginning of the year. But maybe JP Morgan's endorsement will give the EV stock a boost. Okay, I can't seem to stop logging into this daily. Let's look at Reddit.
Yeah, it's so fascinating to see what folks are saying. And you get all sorts of opinions there, especially after the, for example, big events like the swearing in of the new prime minister, what folks are saying about the new PM and this and that. So you've got all sorts of opinions, and I think this is where it's created a very valuable mine of data. And that's where the ChatGPT programs or all the chatbots come in, because OpenAI has partnered with Reddit to get its data, to build the intelligence that these AI bots require. So it's going to be a new stream of revenue for Reddit to help diversify beyond advertising. So I'm saying good news for Reddit. So up for me.
Yeah, as you were beautifully describing Reddit, I was just imagining, you know, what it would be like if it had a chatbot to sort of crunch all the information that you get on Reddit, which is very human sort of expressions of the lived experience of anything, right? An event or a service. So Reddit has gone and done this, signed a deal with OpenAI that will allow it to add AI features to its online communities. Should be an up. However, Reddit will also provide content to OpenAI. And I have a feeling that some of Reddit's users may not like that. For now, though, investors are happy. Reddit shares are up nearly 12% in after-hours trade. Our last entry this morning is the biotech gene editing company called Prime Medicine.
All right, I'm going up for this one because you've got an analyst upgrade from Citi. So the target now is to buy from hold. And this is with an upside of 48% from where things were last close. So this is around the fact that the company Prime Medicine received a US FDA clearance for a drug to treat a disease, chronic granulomatose disease. So that is a new drug that is going to mean new revenue, and it seems like the pipeline is looking quite healthy for Prime Medicine.
So that's why Citigroup is bullish on this gene editing company. It thinks Prime Medicine, because of this drug, could surge more than 45%. So that is definitely an up for Prime Medicine. All right, our last word today, Ryan, belongs to King Charles III. Buckingham Palace has unveiled the first official portrait of King Charles III since his coronation, and the painting is proving quite divisive. King Charles is wearing the uniform of the Welsh Guards, sword in hand. You can barely see him because he's sort of submerged by this fiery red background, which almost appears to swallow him whole. Have you seen this?
I am looking at the painting and I'm struggling to figure out what's going on, because as you describe, he is being drowned out by a lot of red. So you can only see his face, a very faint picture or image of his clothing. So you only can see his head. And then the background is almost the same red as the clothing. So it's very hard to distinguish what's what here.
Very odd for a portrait because that his head takes up a very small proportion of the very large, larger than life canvas, you know. The painting is by British artist Jonathan Yeo, who had four sittings with the king and also worked from drawings and photographs. Some observers say it looks like a statement that the British monarchy has blood on its hands or is drowning in blood.
That's not what they want, I'm sure. It does look like a floating head from afar if you see it. It's just a head in a big canvas of red.
Yeah. What was your first emotional reaction when you saw that?
The first emotion would be what you would think of. I think most people when they see red, anger. It's not a positive feeling most of the time when you see red. So there is a lot of red here.
It's quite unsettling. I agree. There is a little butterfly. Can you see it? The monarch. It's hovering over Charles's shoulder.
Well, it's an orange, almost red butterfly, so not helping. Maybe you should have made it another color, like blue or more pleasant or pleasing color.
I think you can see more of the monarch butterfly than you can of Charles's face.
Maybe that's
greater
the
detail.
Point of it.
Maybe. Apparently, Charles requested it. You know, it describes depiction going from chrysalis to butterflies. So his transformation.
So he's fading away?
I think it's more his transformation to becoming king.
So it's so hard to see him now in this portrait.
That's what I get too.
It's like stepping away from the limelight.
Yeah, and you know, given the background of his illness, again, a lot of unsettling messages coming through. All right. Well, my first reaction, Ryan, was I was horrified. I looked at it and some people have described it as a poster for a horror movie.
Yeah, I'm just thinking maybe that's the point of it, to create conversations. You know, when art stirs up emotions, it's working rather than something that's flat and blasé.
That's true. Like another royal portrait that nobody talks about.
Yeah, I've seen so many of them in the museums, and this one really stands out.
For sure. Won't be forgotten. Well, thank you, Ryan. Have a great weekend ahead.
You too.
He's Ryan Huang. I'm Michelle Martin. You stay right here with me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.